This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey! Biscuit! It's Jimmy from Boston. Forget that Petey's kid teacher thinks he's a hack for that pull my finger gag. I'm more concerned for any first-time listener who heard that cast and now thinks this is a show about grilling meat done by two knock-knock joke-telling Italian soccer dads.
Pete and Sebastian Show, we're back. Sebastian Maniscalco on the other end, as always, bro. What is it, season 8? I don't even know. It's unbelievable.
I mean, we're approaching, Seinfeld and Cheers type numbers, right?
It's getting close to the point where they start to talk about it. When they talk about time capsules and stuff they want to send out to space, they're like, listen, you had the Pete and Sebastian Show. They got quite a catalog at this point. Yeah, that's all I see.
It's not only a catalog in the means of the volume of which we have, but it's also what's in there. It's so relevant. If an alien wanted to study what was going on down there, they'd have to tap into the show and go, oh, I get it.
Just human behavior, yeah. And how to be. Hey, how about a warm-up? How about a warm-up right now? I got one for you.
Yeah.
That I was wondering about. Yesterday, all right, long story short, Jackie and I, were fooling around on the couch. Took my shirt off, right? And at one point, my double chains were dangling and like, going up and down over her neck and stuff, all right? You know? And now I'm thinking to myself, that's got to be nice, right? It's almost like you're making love to Jesus and me at the same time, right? You know what I'm saying, right? But then at one point, it kind of came up and kind of hit a lip, and then she took my chain off because it could come right off. So I brought it down as a question to you. When you go to make love to a man or woman, and you're getting undressed, what jewelry is okay to keep on and what should come off? Like, can you make love with a leather band watch, a swatch, or should that be coming off? You know?
I de-jewel.
I mean, everything but the wedding ring?
Yeah, the wedding ring's on, the watch is off. I don't really have, there's really nothing else to take off. I don't really wear anything around the neck, but yeah, I mean, you de-jewel, bro. You can't have that shit flying in a mouth.
I know. Well, I usually have my shirt on, usually in an impromptu moment, but I took it off, and then I was like, whoa, bam. And that thing will knock a tooth out, too.
That crucifix you got hanging could break a jawbone, man.
I know. I don't even want to look into it, because honestly, I think it's meant as a keychain. That's how fucking heavy it is. I think the maker would be like, around your neck, guy? Because then your fucking neck hurt? It's for car keys. For the nuns when they drive.
Oh, man.
What's up, bro? What's going on?
Oh, God. I got to be honest, man. A little fatigued here coming into the cast. Just got home last night from a Dallas gig, and we took Serafina and Caruso this morning to summer camp. It's a summer camp in the sense that it's school during the summer. It's basically a transition camp for the kids that are coming into the school. Now, we go in. I mean, this school's top-notch, bro. It's unbelievable. And instead of dropping your kid off and having your kid cry its head off, they want the parents to kind of loosely hang around, right?
Okay.
In the yard, they're all playing, but I'm there, right? I'm talking. I gotta be honest. Out of 18 kids there, there's two men. I'm one of them. Right?
All right.
So, I'm talking 16 moms and two fathers, right? Now I'm looking around going, because Lana is with Serafina, right?
Okay, yeah.
Now I'm looking around going, either you got to give me a certificate for Father of the Year, or the other fathers are with their kids in another classroom. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but then what about the third? Have you ever been someplace where, like, there's no fathers there and you're kind of realizing, the hell am I doing here? Like, you're not, you know, you overthought it. You're not Father of the Year. You're like, I've done that with Jackie. I'm like, I'll be back. I'll pick you guys up. I'm out of here.
Well, here. Coming off the road for 4 days, I wanted to be there, number one. Number two, I mean, I think a lot of guys are like, you're going to that, babe. I ain't going to that, man.
Yeah, but that, I'm saying that as an example, but what you're going to, I think every man should go to that. Your daughter's about to start a school. A man should go and see the setup. See, I you know, maybe they're busy with their work. They can't.
Maybe. You know, maybe. So, here's my point. And I don't know if you feel this way too, but you get me. This is gonna sound. you get me around a bunch of mothers. It's on. It's like I'm the guy that makes the moms laugh. You know.
Yeah.
You ever in that situation where you're gonna go. To yourself, you go, hey, you haven't left in 12 years, right? In your marriage.
Well,
go ahead.
I totally know what you're saying. And sometimes I go silent, for lack of a better expression, bro. It's literally low-hanging fruit. I mean, to make a semicircle of suburban moms laugh while their husbands are working, I mean, come on. That's what made you famous, guy. You know, I mean, it can get crazy. You do it too hard, though. They'll follow you home for Mahjong, guy.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it. I pepper it in. This is not like a, you know, it comes in like a surprise. Right. You know, it's not like I'm holding court. It's like I'm quiet, and then all of a sudden I pop in, I give them a line, and then I leave, and they're like, "What just happened?"
just to give them a taste to go. That's what Lana gets at home all the time.
She's a very lucky woman.
Just in case you were wondering, am I one of those only funny on stage guys? I'm not. I hear you, bro.
Oh, my God. Now I'm watching Caruso play. Now, Caruso hasn't really played with any kids. You know, really a lot because of the pandemic. Right now he's tossed in a group. He's basically the youngest one in the class. And I'm watching how he plays with other kids. You ever look at your kid play, and this could be now, it could be earlier, and you talk to yourself, like you don't want to give him like advice, but in your head you're like, go take the truck back.
Yeah. It's like you're watching a boxing match from your couch, right? come on. Get sturdy. Yeah.
Like he had two of the trucks and the other kid just ripped it away from him. Caruso kind of look at him. And I was like, come on. You can go. That was yours.
I hear you, man.
Oh.
But otherwise,
man.
Normal, right? All normal?
Yeah, man, that is great.
Didn't he skip a beat?
Nah, he adapted. He fell right in. You give this kid a fire engine, a helicopter, a truck. He's good for the whole day.
I love it. Gotta love it with the boys.
It reminds me of me because I used to play alone. When I was in preschool, I was alone. I didn't really fit in with the other kids. And I think he's got that a little bit. He's got to warm up to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe though he's thinking like you too. It's like they don't deserve my company. You know, I don't know where you're at with the McConaughey book, but and we can get into that. But there was one at the end of one chapter. He said about a specific time in his life, how great it was, one of the best times of his life. And he goes, and most of all, because I was with the best company I've ever been with and my favorite company to be with. And it was a time where he was by himself for 6 weeks writing the book. So, like, which is kind of an insult to your wife, you know, you're saying my favorite company is myself alone. But, you know, you're like me. When I'm alone in a hotel room with a six-pack of beer, I'm like, hey, this is a party. I can make this happen. You know what I mean? All I need is tunes, the beer, let's do it. Everyone else just gets in the way anyway, right, bro?
Oh, God.
So, you know, you're a boy either way, you know? If he plays with people, it's because he wants to. If he doesn't play with boys, it's, you know, he's just... Like, well, you weren't sad. Like, when you were going home watching Three's Company at lunch in high school, were you sad about that, or were you comfortable doing that?
I was asking myself, why isn't everybody at the school doing this?
That's it, then, man. As long as the kid's happy, however it plays out for him.
Oh, and then he sat down for snack, right? They brought the snack out. It was like a little yogurt with some granola and whatnot. And those little veggie fries, like veggie fry chips. Oh, God, he's so Italian. I was like, you know, most parents get proud if the kid could read or write or whatnot. I'm looking at my kid. I'm proud that he could eat. Like he's he's calling the woman over with the bag. I need more, you know, just waving her over like he's at Jilly's in 1957. I don't know. The only thing he didn't do was ask for the check.
Is he really doing the... I tell you, if he's already doing the wave with the two fingers like that, oh, that's just class, man. He's been watching his dad. Half his meals have been at top shelf restaurants, hanging out with dad. That's what you do at the end of dinner. You wave your two fingers. Someone comes and takes it away.
He had that lean back, too, where the teacher came in from the side. He did a lean back and just said, more. As if like it was like a Sinatra move or Sinatra going like give me the check. You know, it was a beautiful move, man. I was so proud.
Beautiful. Oh, that's fantastic. And was he going to this thing too, or was he just going with you guys while you were dropping off Serafina to try it out?
No, he's in it. He's in. Yeah,
it.
He goes 9 to 11:30. Serafina goes 9 to 2:30. So. Yeah, man, they were inundated today with school. But I want to jump back in the conversation, and I want to talk to you about an experience I had on the plane at one of the gigs. Now, as we mentioned before, I'm doing private air travel, right? I could see the cockpit. Yeah, it's. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's no door or nothing. I could see what's going on up there. So myself and Pat were on the plane, and we take off. Now, as we're taking off, we level out really quick, like about 2,000 feet. We level out. Now, I've never seen that before. I've always seen the plane ascend, reach 35,000, and then level off. This was up and then a level off. And... I'm looking in the cockpit, and I'm seeing, like, movement with the hands, you know? Like, normally you look in a cockpit, you don't see a lot of hand movement where you
know, right.
touching instruments.
Right. Not a lot of quick hand gestures all over the place
touching stuff. Knob, up top. The whole time I'm thinking, what's up top? Is he looking for the ejector seat? What's he... What's he doing up top, right?
Did it look like, was he grabbing things so fast that it looked trying, he was trying to find something that wasn't working and he kept...
No, no, it wasn't a frantic.
All right.
It was just a lot of, like, it looked like he knew what it was doing, but I wouldn't have paid any attention to it. The only reason I'm paying attention to it is we're leveled off at 2,000 feet, right?
Right, yeah.
You don't really see a plane flying that low. Like, no. If I was on the ground, I looked up and go, what the hell is that? So,
right.
Then we turn a little bit, and I hear the intercom, the traffic control. I can't hear anything, though. Like, you could just hear, you know, like, you can't really hear because the plane is loud on there. So I turn to Pat and I go, you nervous? And he goes, I haven't really seen this before. I've never been on a plane where you kind of level off and whatnot. So I'm like, all right. So we start ascending and we get to our final, cruising altitude. I take the seatbelt off. I go and talk to the pilot. I go, what was that? He goes, what? I go, back there, the level off. He goes, oh, yeah, we got instructions from air traffic control not to ascend to our destination up above because some other planes were taken off at, the international airport and they needed that airspace, so we just leveled off. I go, yeah, but it was like a abrupt. He goes, oh, yeah, what you're just feeling there is the flaps coming up, and he explained in detail what was happening with the airplane. So here's my deal. I'm going to be flying with these guys for the next 6 months. I told them, I go, we need to come up with something. When something out of the ordinary happens where you just, like, turn a cheek and go, it's all right, don't worry about it, My question to you, if God forbid there was something wrong with the plane, what would you tell the pilot to tell you if something was going down? Like, what's the move on? How would you like to receive the message?
I guess I got to equate it to the film Castaway. I don't know if you remember the beginning when Tom Hanks is in the back of the FedEx plane or whatever it is. Making small talk, he knows them, they know him, lots of laughs, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden, buckle in back there, buckle.
Explosion!
That's when I want to know. I want to know less than a minute before I'm going to die, all right? Until then, keep it to yourself.
So buckle in. To me, that could mean that's turbulence, or that could mean... We're headed down into a neighborhood.
Well, did you hear the way I said buckle in? I'm not saying, hey, buckle in, we got turbulent. But by the way, I mean, what's going on with you here? You want them to turn around like you're the mother-in-law in the back of a car on the highway and let you know everything that's going on? Yeah, they got it. They don't need a code. There's no need for a code. That they're going to crash because that's not, they're professionals. They don't even think like that. They're going home to their wives. Guy wants us to have a code to what to tell them.
You're flying, right? You're flying.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you hear a bang on the outside of the plane.
Right.
And you look out and the engine don't look right. It looked like it's got like a, it's on fire.
Yeah.
You're telling me you don't want them to come back and say nothing to you about that? They got it?
How long does it take him to get up, one of them, to get up, come back, and tell you what happened and go back up? 10 seconds?
I'm not even saying they need to get up. Just while they're in their seat.
Don't worry about it. We lost an engine. We got another one. It happens all the time.
That's all I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to quell my nerves.
I feel like that's just something we got to play it out when it happens. You know what I mean? Because, that's a big thing. I think when you think it's a big thing, it's going to be a big thing is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Like
I thought the leveling off at 2,000 feet was a big thing. I'm thinking, there we go. Oh, what? Did they ran out of gas? You know, like, what? did they take off? Hey, how many times have you gotten in your car, right, and pulled out of your driveway, went to the first light, and you look down, and you're like, man, I need some gas. Does that happen in a plane? Like, do they ever take off and go, oh,
I know. We don't got enough. I thought you got it. I thought you checked it. Well, listen, right there with you on that, though, because they obviously were going up, and then someone said, don't go up any higher. Hold level at 1,700.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and I know, like, they obviously got to do that with the plane. There's no way air traffic says that, and the plane automatically does that. They got to do that. You're telling me they never go, like, I thought you said 2,700. Clearly said 17.
That's what, like, I'm saying. Like, and there's human error up there. Where what if the guy in the tower doesn't see that there's another plane taking off, and now we're going, and that guy's going. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what is going through my head as a passenger. All I'm saying is I need a little comfort that we're in a good situation back here.
Yeah. You tell him, you go, listen, pretend you're flying a Delta commercial flight, and anytime you make a jerk on that thing where you'd have to come on and tell the people, tell me, right?
Yeah, like I want them to go, or I want them to turn around and go, call your wife. You know, like...
Well, maybe if you had an intercom where you could go to them, you press a button and go, why did we just level off at 2,000? What's going on? You know? So, like, you have a direct line to them. That might be something they could do.
I'd be in there. I'd be calling them constantly going, what was that?
Right? Just come on and go,
did you see that lightning bolt 200 yards to the left?
Maybe they go, oh, fuck, you saw lightning? We didn't. And you go, bro, the intercom is paying for itself. Look at this. I'm so glad I put this in. I just saved my life, you know?
So here's my deal. And I don't know if you noticed, but in New Orleans, we were taking off. Yeah, a full-blown thunderstorm, right? Lightning and what have you. Whoa. Now, earlier in the day, I was golfing. There was a siren that went off that there was lightning. And when there's lightning on the golf course, you got to come in because you got a golf club. Now, here's my question. Does lightning find the golf club? Like, how does lightning work? Is it up there and is it looking down going, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that club? How does it work?
I don't know. It's something with George Washington with the kite and the key. When lightning's coming down, it seems like as it gets close to Earth, it starts looking for metal. I mean.
Okay. Well, you're telling me a plane's taking off and it's lightning? The lightning ain't looking at the plane?
Oh, they get hit by lightning all the time, planes do.
They do?
They do, man. I was told that by a pilot. Yes.
Yeah. And what, they just shake it off?
Well, I mean, you don't want it to happen, but yeah, I mean, you know, it does. Yeah, I wish we could do a Google that shit, but yeah, absolutely. But it's not an ideal situation to go up in that. But have you had that kind of conversation with your pilots where you were like, you know, I forget there's a term for it when you're trying to appease, when you have a famous client and you're flying, for lack of a better example, you know, when the guy wanted to get Kobe home instead of, you know.
Yeah.
So did you tell them, like, listen, guys, if there's a light breeze, we do a Holiday Inn, no fucking problem.
After this happened, I actually thought about that, having a sit down and going, hey, listen, no gig is worth, you know, flying through a tornado. All right. So, like, don't think you got to get me anywhere. If you go, listen, it's hairy, but we can make it. I go Radisson.
Yeah, man. Let's just keep this puppy in neutral on the runway and we'll all just bed down here if we have to. But, you know, like you said. But again, you know, he's saying that, but boy, imagine we got him home. He'd be laying in his bed. Like, you know, that's like the other thing, too. If they get you home in a snowstorm, you don't want to get out of the plane and go, I love you guys. No one's better flyers. Because then they're going to go, oh, man, we got to fly him. in a tornado now. How are we going to top that, you know? Shit.
Well,
but I think those guys, come on, you're flying jets like that. Those are all ex-Top Gun guys, man. They got that shit down.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just saying, we took off out of Dallas last night, and at the end of the flight, it was only 2.5 hours. He's like, hey, did you get any sleep back here with all that, you know, that lightning and thunderstorm? I go, where was that at? He goes, out of Dallas. You didn't see it? I go, no, I saw it when we got to L.A. We were bouncing around back here. He goes, no, there was some heavy weather out of Dallas. Maybe you just didn't feel it. And I was and I'm like, why are you waiting till the end of the trip? Like, shouldn't you come out midway through the turbulence and go, you all right back here? Like, check on me to see if I passed away?
I disagree. I like this guy's style. He sounds cool. I don't even know him. He would fly right through a tornado. He's like, we had to make a left. We almost hit Dorothy's house. But apparently you didn't notice. That's his way of saying, you know, I got you through a lightning storm and you didn't even notice. That's how great I am.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Wow.
So
you're going to, you know. I wonder if those guys by the end are going to be like, this guy,
might not even want to fly me anymore.
No, it's like Mr. T. You're going to have to put shit in your milk before you get on the plane.
Mr. T put stuff in his mouth?
Remember the A-Team?
Oh, I never watched that show.
Mr. T in the A-Team, he was afraid to fly, as tough as he was, so they had to drug him anytime they had to fly, and then they'd wake up wherever they were, and he'd be mad because they drugged him. You know, but they did it all the time, constantly.
This road leads directly to the airport, Hannibal.
This road is nowhere near the airport.
It's that time again, class.
Scott Bakula. Bakula.
Welcome to Embarrassing Grammar, the online course that teaches you how not to pronounce words. Here are comedians Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
I don't know. It's something with George Washington with the kite and the key.
None of this is historically accurate.
B.O. is such a distinct smell.
It's pungent. It's the only smell when I smell on somebody, I get mad at them. You know what I mean?
Feet means to say pungent. I'm not mad at him, though.
Forget it. The shows are going to have a whole new vibe after we're both done getting our McConaughey butt. How do you pronounce it? McConaughey?
Matthew McConaughey.
Billy D. Williams. Remember how cool he was? He used to do the Colt 45 commercials when he wasn't playing Lando Calrissio. Just cool dude.
Calrissio is Italian. It's pronounced Lando Calrissian. And yes, very cool dude.
What's his name? Was it Zach Morris was there from Saved by the Bell? The guy that played Zach Morris? What's his name? Paul Gosling. What's his name?
Mark Paul Gosselaar. Know your hunks.
The blonde. Yeah. Yeah. He's there. Right? So I start to look. Dave Kroll was there, the guitarist from Foo Fighters.
Dave Grohl. You're thinking of Nick Kroll, the comedian whom you ignored sitting next to on a plane for the whole flight.
This is how you're taught to speak. Now listen to these two guys if you want to fucking survive. Works a whole lot better when you're out there in the real world.
That's it for today, class. Until next time, keep surviving. Later.
By the way, I meant to tell you, speaking of camp, Sadie, we just put her in this one by us on a lake. It's like it's right out of a movie, you know, with the cabins and stuff. But we did it for the day, for 1 week, for a whole every day, like 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. You have breakfast there, you have lunch there, just to get her acclimated. Then now she has a week off. Then next week, she goes back. We drop her off Sunday for a whole week. We have no access to her. Overnight camp. She's going with one other girlfriend. And she's in a cabin with all the other girls. And it's on the lake. It's like the movie Meatballs with Bill Murray, man.
What's with the no communication? I don't get that.
What do I do? Yeah. And you know, this place is about, it's a beautiful lake, you know. It's not great to swim in, but it's gorgeous. The camp has like been around. It's one of the oldest camps ever. And it's, like I said, right out of the movies with all the summer fun stuff. And we only live 45 minutes away. So Jackie and I were dying to go take a walk around it. Or we go, can we come visit her halfway through? And they're like, no, because some other parents are coming from so far away that they can't visit their kids. So we just feel like it wouldn't be... We don't want the other kids whose parents couldn't come to feel bad because yours, you know, did. But I'm thinking, like, how do I know I'm not going to pick my kid up on Saturday and she's going to come walking towards me, and as soon as she gets into my arms, just collapse and cry, and like, you know, where were you? I've been dying since, you know? But
yeah.
But she went to this camp last year for the day, for a whole week. Then she did it again, like I said, a week ago. All the counselors are girls and, you know, young boys and girls in college. And it's like they're all, it's, listen, it's only up and up. But I got to tell you, right? Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
She, Jackie made it real clear, and they have this form. Do you want us to put suntan lotion on your kid? And Jackie's like, no, my daughter will do it herself, blah, blah, blah. So she comes home, Sadie, and she's like, the guy, there's a main guy at the camp who, like, is in charge of the whole camp. All the kids love him. He's, like, all around. Anyway, he has this spray suntan lotion, and he sprays all the kids. And Jackie's, just, like, getting mad. She's like, what do you mean he spray you? And Sadie's like, he doesn't touch us, though. We rub it in. So then Jackie's like, well, you tell him tomorrow. You'll do it yourself. You don't need any help. Okay, Mom, okay, you know? So then I'm talking to Sadie on the side, and I go, listen. I go, is it one of those things where, like, you're all playing, and you're in the sun, and he just comes by, and he just sprays everybody, and then everybody rubs it in? And she's like, yeah, Dad. And I go, and would it be weird if he's doing that, and you look at him and go, please hand me the bottle, I'll spray myself and hand it back? She goes, yeah. I go, all right, then he can spray you, but no touching. And she goes, he's not, don't worry. But I mean, you know, I mean... that's why, bro, now you're going to be there overnight? You're right. I feel like I got to sneak there Wednesday night. Because when you drop them off the first day, you get to help set up their bed and, you know, their snacks or whatever, you know, just because they never even did that, undo their own sleeping bag. But once I know where her cabin is, there's a back way into the camp. And I'm thinking on a Wednesday night, I just sneak into the back and do a little tap on the window and go, is anybody touching you? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, bye. See you Sunday. That's all I want to know. I don't care if kids are picking on you. I don't care if the food sucks. I don't care if you're getting bit by insects. None of that matters. Is anybody touching you? No. Goodbye. That's it, right?
Well... Does she know? Have you had that conversation with her? Go, listen, you know, only you touch your privates, yeah, or mommy and daddy to look. Is that, you know, has that been said?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, man.
So she knows, she knows the game, right? She knows what's up.
Before she could barely even speak, I go, nobody touches you. Of course not, you know. Then you go, nobody touches you or sees you without your clothes on, but Mom and Dad. And she goes, okay, I get it. But then she starts naming other people. Well, what about Grandma and Grandpa? And you're like, yeah, well, yeah, okay. Or what about, and you're like, all right, you know. Anybody with all last name could see you naked until you're five.
Oh, God.
My dad should... be Father of the Year for dozens of reasons.
I watched this Maya Moore ESPN 30 for 30 documentary. Maya Moore is a professional basketball player, and she quit basketball to get this guy out of jail. right? This guy, her family, long story short, her family became involved in getting an innocent man free out of jail. And then later on, Maya joined the cause and ended up falling in love with this guy. And this guy, they get him out of jail after 23 years. This guy went to jail when he was 16. After 23 years of being in jail, he gets out and he asks this woman to marry him, this professional basketball player.
Yeah.
Now, they're showing about 15 minutes of like life after prison where, you know, he's going back to his old neighborhood. He goes to see his grandmother's grave. They have a barbecue. And I'm looking at her and him, right? And I found it. Listen, love is love. I get it. I'm not denying it. But guy gets out of prison 23 years, and then he hops into a relationship. I mean, there's a lot of adjustments going on there. I mean, first of all, the guy went to prison when he was 16, so he didn't really, like, have a dating life. And now at 40, he got married. Like, after 23 years in prison, don't you want to go out to a few bars?
I don't know.
Like,
I
mean, sow your oats a little bit?
All right, boys, night out!
When you've been in that long, though, right, it's kind of like... I saw that. What was that? That one movie about the TV show where the guy was in a prison camp forever. The guy with the red hair from Billions. But anyway, when he got home, he would still sleep on the floor instead of a nice.
Yeah. You face these type of obstacles. I'm not denying their love at all. I'm just saying there's a huge adjustment when you're coming from incarceration into real life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't want to be in a marriage where the other person might be crying in the middle of the night for no reason. I mean, do I roll over and go, what are you thinking about? What do you mean you're thinking about? I've been in prison my whole life. What do you think I'm thinking about? I mean... It's all an adjustment. Can you imagine the first time taking a shower at your house with your wife? Not with her, but alone. Just to wash your hair without fighting for your life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, those moments he's really got to relish. But then, you know, and I'm talking both of them. You know, she might be looking at him going, what the fuck are you doing? You know, like...
the little things, right?
He's working out in the backyard and he's benching cinder blocks. You know, like
right. Wait, nobody's like one of these deep dog dudes, right? Like when he's in the shower. She's like, how come you only use one little dab of shampoo every time? He goes, because if you put a lot in your hair, you can get it in your eyes. And if you can't open your eyes in your shower, that's when bad things happen. And then he just goes back, and she's like, oh, okay, well, okay. You know, like little, like you said, then you go out of the garage, you're like, why wouldn't you just get weights?
What's wrong with cinder blocks?
I'm like, listen, this guy is fucking beat it, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's a really great story, but
it is.
I want to, like, tune into that marriage, like, in 2 or 3 years, you know what I'm saying?
And was he in prison, like, for the wrong reason? Like, did he do
a
crime?
Yeah, man, this guy got railroaded, and he shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have been there. They railroaded him.
Oh, man. Is he going to get a lot of money for that?
Probably a civil suit, you know. They didn't really get into that in the documentary.
I mean, never enough money, I know, but damn.
Yeah, God, but he got screwed. But yeah. I was more like, man, they got married? I was like, that's love, man.
So, well, you got to, when a woman fights for you in all those movies where no one else believes in you and she did, you know, and there's always that scene in the movie, too, where you tell her, just go away. It's not going to work out. It never does. Guard! Right? And then they leave. But then she comes back. You got to marry her. It's part of the deal.
right?
Yeah, no, and absolutely, but as a
Get out and go, I owe you a dinner, baby.
Well, as a comedian, I'm looking at this in a humorous way, right? So I'm looking at this going, this guy can never win a fight with his the wife, right?
Like, no.
Like, if he goes, you know, where'd you go last night? Where'd I go? I got you out of prison. Don't worry about where I went. You know, like
how long are you going to hold that over my head? I'd be like, till you die or go back. I mean, you kidding me? That's like forever. That's forever. That's like someone giving you a kidney, the same thing, right?
Well, George Lopez left his wife after she gave him a kidney, and they got divorced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, maybe it was the other way around. Maybe she's like, if I give you a kidney, will you get the fuck out of here?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're a little flat today. We both got to admit it, right?
You're perfect.
Oh, well, you know, listen, I'm sitting over here going, you know, I'm jet lagged out. I didn't get much sleep.
I got a couple, I wouldn't call them Italian takes, but I got a couple quick questions for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the Pope has been in and out of the hospital. He's like battling some stuff right now.
No, I don't watch the news anymore. You're my only news outlet. I don't watch the news anymore. I don't even know what's going on. So tell me
good.
What's up.
That's a good way to live. That really is, man. It's really, I got to fucking tune out. But anyway, he had an operation. And, you know, he's doing better now. But my question was, I was wondering, like, you know, because it was nip and tuck. Do you think, like, I'm going to go so far as to say, do you think the Pope gets excited when he's going to die? Like, if he truly believes in all of his stuff that he's saying, do you think he's like, here we go, baby?
That's a great question. You know, you would think you're going to go see, the boss, right?
I would think that, right? Finally, you know, it's like the angels finally getting to meet Charlie.
Morning, angels.
Good morning, Charlie.
Yeah, well, this is better than a Smothers Brothers album, and we're not even on today. but you're gonna meet the boss.
Well, here, let me sidestep out of this. Just you saying that we're not on today. I don't think you're getting that type of honesty on another cast.
No. No, you're not. You know, they act like it was great, and, you know.
I'm just saying, to feel it, to know it, and then say it, the transparency of the cast is just unbelievable. I wanna touch on something. I'm sorry, I don't want to jump off that topic. But,
no, that's fine.
But, I don't know. I don't know if he does get excited, if death is looking you dead in the eye and you're the Pope, are you still going, no? I want to live, or is there a part of you going, I got to find out if what I was doing down here means anything.
Was I bullshitting myself the whole time? Here we go, man. Yeah, I got to think it's like you've been online for a roller coaster and you're the next one up. I mean, I don't know. But what were you going to say? What did you want to bring up?
No, I was going to bring up before I forgot. I'm going to get your take on this as long as we're doing Italian takes. Watt went to go see his wife play soccer, right? I saw it on Instagram, and he's sitting in one of the suites. And the suite's like outdoors, right? But it's like kind of cordoned off. It's like a, you know, a luxury suite. And he brought the two dogs to the game at a stadium. What's your take on that?
You had a dog when we were growing up indoors, you were blind. That simple. Right? That's it. That's the only reason a dog was ever indoors in public.
Yeah, you're right. We just hit a new level there with the dog, but I got to talk to him about what the reasoning behind that was. What else? What else you got on the Italian take?
Okay, by the way, I've been speaking of shows we've been watching. I've been catching Cousin McConaughey thing, True Detective, with him and Woody Harrelson. I had never seen that on HBO.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's pretty damn cool in this thing, right? Now, there was just a scene where Matthew McConaughey borrowed Woody Harrelson's lawnmower, and when he returned it, Woody Harrelson wasn't home, that he noticed his lawn needed to be mowed, so he mowed it. Woody Harrelson got pissed. 2 weeks ago, I come back behind my shed, this big, big area of lawn I have, not big, but significant, and it was mowed. And my neighbor comes out, woman, very nice, as I was looking at it, she goes, I was doing mine, I figured, why not just keep going with the mower, so I did yours too. And I'm like, oh, thanks, but bro, same thing as Woody Harrelson. I'm like, I don't think you mow another person's lawn, even as a favor, what you take.
I'm with you here, bro. Some people might be going lower on the cut. They might want to keep it higher. I just don't think you just aggressively go and cut someone's lawn out of being a good Samaritan when that person might have a method to the madness. I know when I used to cut my father's lawn, he would like it one way 1 week, like cutting it north and south. Then the next week I had to cut it on a diagonal. Because he liked to, like, switch the way the grass was growing, bro. It's like a whole method to his man.
After years of having grass, your dad knows how he likes it.
Yeah. How about this? Big snowstorm, you come home, your whole driveway shoveled. You into that? Somebody else do your driveway?
That's a nice touch. I have no problem with that. My buddy's got a plow once in a while. He'll be swinging by this way, just drives down, puts the plow down, scrapes me right out, and then texts me going, I was coming by, just plowed you out. Wow, that's beautiful. I got no problem with that.
That's nice. That's nice. But we had this done to us growing up in Chicago once. Guy came over with a snowblower, was nice enough to do our driveway, but then our sidewalks. But the way he did the sidewalks were already like, you know, remember sometimes growing up, we lived on a path to a school, so a lot of kids were walking on the sidewalk without it shoveled, so they were patting the snow down. So it would get packed, right?
Well,
this guy took a snowblower and went right over and just made a path, but there was still snow over the sidewalk, you know?
Yeah, it was a toboggan run. Is that what he made? If you're not going to scrape it down to the cement, you're not doing me any favors. You're making it harder for us.
If you're going to do it, I need to see my cement.
Absolutely.
The whole way through. You can't like sometimes my dad would pull the car out and he would go over the snow and pack it down, right? Now you got, at the end, if you shovel, you got to get like a pick out there and pick off.
Yes, I know.
Tire marks, right?
Yep. Whenever I do my driveway, I got to back out the Tahoe to get the snowblower, and then I know what I just backed out. Like you said, it's packed down, and I try to scrape, and then I hit that shit. Yeah, aggravating, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you need to have it clean. The whole thing needs to be clean.
Yeah, but all that stuff, you're right, though. It's kind of personal, man. You really don't get involved in somebody's, lawn, driveway. I mean, maybe you do a path, you feel bad, you make some space. I got nothing else right now, bro.
To be honest with you, I don't either. Yeah, we might have to just put a fork in this, bro.
Yeah, hey, listen.
We're
doing it in the summer. Yeah, we've been doing it every week.
We're the Pete and Sebastian Show. I am in Atlantic City this weekend at the Borgata Hotel Resort and Casino. Nice. I'll actually be there for the next 3 weekends. SebastianLive.com for your tickets. Yeah, I'm there. I'm doing 18 shows there at the Borgata. Borgata's
awesome. Awesome, man.
Yeah, looking forward to that, and we'll continue the Pete and Sebastian Show coming right into your ears and your living rooms right here from Fredonia in Los Angeles. We'll see you next week.
The show has ended.
I de-jewel.
De-jewel.